since the beginning of the United States. Kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, August 24th, 2016. Good afternoon.
Are you talking to me, Melody?
I don't know if there's anyone else there. Usually,
well, Frank is probably around here someplace. He might. You didn't say good afternoon, Alfred.
Well, I was testing you. If you were paying attention.
Uh-huh. I'm always paying attention, Melody.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. I don't know to what, but...
Oh, well, something.
Something. It could be... Hopefully. Anyway, gold today. Pay attention to this. Gold. Little pressure in gold, and we're going to see it, as I told you, till Janet Yellen speaks on Friday, $1,324 for gold today, down 24. Silver was down 27 cents at 1861. Platinum was down 29 at 1,081. Palladium down 14 at 687. The USDX today was slightly higher, 0.22 at 94.77, and crude oil was down 140 at 46.70. Well, you talk about a seesaw there. That's, you know, one day it's up $1.40, next day it's down $1.40, up 40, down 40. But anyway, but hey, nothing's manipulated in this world, is it? Everything is not rigged. The Dow is down 65 points, 18,481. The NASDAQ was down 42 points at 52.17. The S&P down 11, 21.74. 10-year yield 1.56%, up 0.01. Euro was down 0.35, 113. And, quiet markets overseas. Italy got hit hard with an earthquake. They're talking over hundreds of people that are perished with an earthquake. I think it was a 6.2 on the Richter scale as in the center of Italy. So, you know, it was interesting. I saw, you know, condolences coming in from Putin, from, you know, France, from Germany, from England. But not a word. from the guy in Washington that sits there in that White House. So just kind of.
You mean the golfer?
The golfer.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, it may be that his cell phone doesn't work out there on the ninth hole. So he may not have got the message.
Maybe. Uh-huh. We have Wendy Wilson. We have a lot of things to talk about today. At the second and third segment of the program, we're going to talk about the sales of owned homes. We're going to talk a little bit about cheese. We're going to talk about cheese.
Cheeseburgers.
Say cheese. And we got a couple of political stories about Obama, Hillary, and of course, the Donald. But first, Wendy Wilson is here from Apothecary Herbs, as she is each and every Wednesday. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
Hey, did either of you get a chance to go over to the life expectancy link?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, you did? Okay, great. I thought today we would talk about how some experts are saying we can add a decade to our longevity, because scientific medicine for a long time has been taking a lot of the credit for increasing our longevity from 50 years to an average of 70 years with their miracle of drugs for longevity. But there's a lot of debate as to whether there's quality of life along with the drug-induced longevity. So there's actually some ways that we can increase our own longevity as much as humanly possible without prescription drugs. There was this Canadian study back in August of this year, well, this month actually, 2016. Ottawa University Hospital in Canada released their study. It was published in Polos Medicine, and it was on the human habits that we tend to get into that can rob us of longevity. And the lead researcher was Dr. Doug Manuel, and he specifically looked at unhealthy habits that we tend to, entrench ourselves in. And there's really nothing new there. You know, what you would expect, habits of smoking, poor diet, physical inactivity, and significant alcohol consumption can rob us of longevity. He also mentioned that those habits also are the biggest threat to our health and responsible for 50% of the deaths in Canada. According to their research, what they did is they broke it down into categories. 26% of the deaths are due to smoking, 24% due to physical inactivity, 12% due to poor diet, and 0.4% of the deaths were due to alcohol abuse, which kind of surprised me because Canadians in general have been reported to have a big alcohol abuse problem. So I thought that statistic may be a little low. But according to this study, bad habits will cost us anywhere from 6 to 10 years of life, an average of 7.5, basically. And they reported that more men than women smoke, so they're at the greater risk of dying sooner and losing a minimum of 3.1 years. Likewise, females who smoke, they were listed as losing about 3 years of life. Now, Dr. Manuel also stated that people who have very healthy lifestyle behaviors can add as much as 17.9 years to their longevity with an average of 10 years. So I thought that was really interesting. So what they did, what this the study did is it gave the researchers an idea, and what they did is they developed a computer algorithm that's designed to measure small behavioral changes that affect our health. So they hope to use the era of big data to develop this very extensive list of lifestyle behaviors which can increase or decrease life expectancy in a broad range of global socio-demographic groups. And more importantly, I think the computer program may have a more important, has a big magnitude. If it can measure behavior to predict the impact of our life expectancy, Al, Melanie, across the globe, it's going to have a very valuable, it's going to be a valuable tool to a lot of industries. I think industries like life, health, and auto insurance would want to know, governments, investors, and bankers, transportation industry, like, you know, the airline industry, whether to, you know, let a pilot fly, movie industry, whether they should, you know, insure an actor and so on. Any business that wants to reduce liability, I think this program is going to be very valuable to them. And it's going to be huge because really over the last 60 years, there hasn't been any new tools to predict life expectancy. So I think they are onto something here. And I asked you if you guys had time today to go to Dr. Manuel and his team developed this web page where you can actually plug in your demographic information to see what your personal life expectancy may be. And it's called Project Big Life. And your audience can check it out if they have the internet. They can go to projectbiglife.ca. CA is for Canada, and they can click on life expectancy. So, Al, what were your life expectancy results?
I thought I'd make it to the end of this program for sure.
Okay.
But actually it said 86, 87.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Anything else, or is that what that was about it?
What else? It's like a Chinese fortune cookie. I was waiting for the little thing that this tomorrow is your lucky day. I didn't get that's all they gave me was they gave me that number.
Okay, and Melody, did you give it a whirl? What'd you get?
Mine was like 89 point something.
Uh-huh. Okay, very good, very good. Well, you guys are doing great. Actually, Melanie, you do a little better than me. It said I would live to be about 86 years of age and that I would see my grandchildren graduate and get married. So I'm happy with that.
See, you did get the little fortune cookie. I didn't get a fortune cookie with mine. But
Wendy, I can't imagine I did better than you.
I don't know.
I'm going to have to go back and do it. The first time it showed 80, but I put my weight in on the wrong sign.
Oh, okay.
And it equaled out to like
kilograms instead of pounds. It makes a difference,
makes
apparently.
It makes a big difference, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, in addition
and I
to our
cheat.
Life. You didn't cheat. Oh, good. Well, in addition to all these life habits, we can also really tap into the power that herbs to help us extend our life, you know, extend the life and function of our organs so we can live longer and live, you know, vital, important life. So herbs actually can improve things like circulation. It can strengthen the heart. It can balance hormones and blood insulin. It can remove toxins that tend to invite disease. So here's a report from Maryland's Department of Pharmacological Science. They found that certain herbs have the potential to extend lifespan. So they cited that ginseng and cinnamon in particular extended the life of, they did some research with earthworms, extended the life of earthworms by 14.5% in their lab tests. So Maryland University professor Yung Lo said that medicinal compounds in these herbs have an efficient way to restore the body. He also went on to say that evidential studies like this don't, you know, come along all the time because life-extending herbs being tested are expensive and they really don't have a monetary benefit to big industries like pharmaceuticals. So also, they listed the antioxidant herbs they were testing with the earthworms, and the reason they were using the earthworms is because their cells seem to be similar to humans, and an earthworm's regular lifespan is about 3 weeks. So with results, they can see quickly the evidence if the earthworm is going to grow bigger than normal and live longer than 3 weeks. So some of the herbs that even WebMD mentioned that can promote longer life and improve a lot of brain and heart and bodily functions were garlic, echinacea root, hawthorn berries, cinnamon, dandelion root, cayenne, motherwort herb, astragalus root, and nettle leaf. So a lot of these herbs provide some super nutrition the body can utilize to remove toxins that can undermine our health. It can also remove blockages that slow down function and also can slow down or block toxin removal so that the elimination channels can work better. So our body is really not designed to store a lot of these impurities in the tissues and cells and or even in fat. So use your organ cleansing herbs to actually clean and sweep away a lot of this, and you can actually improve your longevity as well. And you don't need to take a lot of the prescription medicines when you do those kind of things. Anybody have any questions?
I've got a comment. It said that your bad habits, on average, would cost you about 7 years of life.
Yep, seven and a half.
And your healthy lifestyle would increase your life on average by 10 years. And up to 17 years. And what they're saying here is there's at least a 17, maybe 24 year spread
right
between how how long people have bad habits are going to live and how long people with good habits are going to live. That's just huge. 24-year difference. I mean, you lose 7 one way, you gain 17 the other way. That's 24-year spread. That's powerful information.
It is. It is. And, you know, I also was looking into, you know, they talk about the BMI, you know, your body weight index, your mass index and stuff. Well, actually, there's a better way of measuring that, because especially if you work out and you've actually converted, you've picked up muscle mass. And muscle mass weighs 3 times what fat does. So that can throw off your body mass index and kind of throw you into an obese rating category. So there's a better way of measuring it, and it's called waist to hip ratio. So if anybody out there wants to learn how to do that, if they sign up for the newsletters, we send you out all these hot links and these graphs. So I encourage people to sign up for the American Survival newsletter, and they get that stuff in their email. But basically what you do is you feel for the end of your rib cage, and then you feel for your hip bone, and then you take the tape measure and the section in between those areas you measure, and that's your hip, your waist measurement. And then you take the tape measure and you measure around the hip and make sure you get the widest section of the buttock area. And what you do is you divide the waist measurement by the hip measurement, and that would give you your waist to hip ratio. And it's a bit more accurate as to whether you're in the good, excellent, average, or high risk category.
Well, we're all increasingly in the high-risk category. You keep living long enough, you get into a very high-risk category. But still, this is, this is pretty amazing. 24-year potential spread between people who deal with bad habits and people that are dealing with good habits.
And it's really evident if you go up on YouTube, you can actually look at Victory Day World War II Super 8 reels from New York and Hawaii. And what you're going to notice is nobody's overweight in those videos.
Yeah.
So basically we have, you know, females in the 50s were an average of 25 inches in the waist area, whereas females today are 34 inches. And so they have seven inches wider in the hip area and an average of 70 pounds heavier than females in the 50s.
Do you think that's... How do you explain that difference? Do you think it's mostly diet? Do you think it's mostly sedentary lifestyle?
Well, it's a combination. It's kind of an accumulative effect. We actually, after World War II, you saw the mass marketplace distribution of, you know, prepackaged foods that were laden with sugar, the soft drinks, the snacks. The fast food industry kind of bloomed as well. And also on top of that, we have in-home entertainment that promotes inactivity. We have drug hormones in animal food industry, plastic that's known to disrupt our human hormones, lack of nutrition in the food that causes us to overeat, prescription meds that can make us gain weight, also legislation prohibiting children to walk to and from school, they're gaining weight, and, you know, modern stress. It all adds up to, you know, bigger wastes, I think.
Oh, I don't doubt it. So what can people do? Do you have herbs that are going to extend our lives significantly?
Right. We have the full range of body organ cleanses to, you know, keep everything functioning. I mean, if you're going to change your oil and, you know, change the filters in your furnace just to, so it maintains those pieces of equipment, you have equipment too. You have to maintain. So use the herbs to cleanse and nourish the system, and you can sidestep a lot of this problem. Also, the herbs I mentioned that the WebMD mentioned for extending life, we have all those herbs at thepowerherbs.com. And folks can call and ask for a free catalog. The number is toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. Give her a call. Well, Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Thank you. Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll-free. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663 or on the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188 for all your great prices on your gold and silver coins. We have it pulling, gold and silver pulling back today, so take advantage of those smaller prices. You might see pressure on the two this week, again, as I mentioned earlier, because of the Janet Yellen story. Everyone is waiting, of course, to see if she gives any indication whether we're going to increase another quarter point or not. And good Lord, it's just do it and get it over with. But we all know that it's very difficult. And the only reason that she will do it is because she probably thinks that she might have to reverse course in the near future when things begin to fall apart. So a lot of stuff is happening this year. Towards the end of the year, we have things changing in September, October. I think some of the March of next year, I think it's a lot of deadlines. And, of course, I think either president, hopefully it'll be Donald Trump, but with either one who gets in there or the same one remains, I think you're going to see markets react one way or another. So, and but that'll just be part of the course. I mean, the markets certainly have all kinds of reasons to react to the downside.
I'm not sure if they have reasons necessarily, Melody. Sometimes it's like dealing with, you know, someone in a rubber room down at the mental institution. And, you know, sometimes they're banging their head on the north wall and sometimes on the south wall of the room. I don't know. What's their reason? It's hard to understand sometimes. You can watch it, you can follow it, you can chart it. But I'm not sure that anyone understands why. You know, we come up with reasons and we say, well, we've got an opinion, here somebody is, this is his opinion, somebody else's opinion. Does anybody really know? Does anyone really know why gold went down $12.60 today?
Well, I mean, you can't pinpoint any.
You can raise possibilities. You can raise possibilities.
I've said this before. Anytime there is any type of political meeting, whether it be monetary with the central bankers, whether it be governmental officials, whether it be the G20, you will see pressure on gold and silver. It's done that for 25 years.
Do you know why?
even if there's three-day weekends. You'll
Do you know
see,
why it creates
would you let
pressure
me finish?
On gold silver?
Would you let me finish? You'll also see three-day weekends. You'll usually see the stock markets at least maintaining a level and pressure in gold and silver. It's a feel-good psychology. I mean, that's what this whole system is based on, confidence. So, yeah, when you see the central bankers and everything, it's you tell me what you think.
I don't think anything about this. That's what I was asking you. No, I'm just thinking it's
sure
just from
have
my
an
perspective.
Opinion.
Yeah, I probably do.
Yeah, I think you
I could find one probably.
Make one up.
What the heck? But I think what does it is the reason the prices of gold go down in anticipation of these meetings is that the public and the investors say, wait, the government of the Federal Reserve, they might actually do something intelligent. They might do something responsible. They might actually get us out of this mess.
I don't think that's
And then
good.
They have the meeting, and then they know, nah.
I think it's
didn't.
A matter of the markets being rigged at these points and times, because you don't have 25 years of consistent numbers at these points and times unless it's rigged. So, I mean, if there's any point that you want to see and confirm that a market is rigged, that's what you just have to follow. I mean, very rarely are they opposite gold up big and the market's down. You know,
unless
we go back to.
When we go to these meetings, who all, you know, Janet Yellen will be the featured speaker, I presume, this Friday.
Of course she gives
but
her
there
speech.
Will be other speakers there as well. Do you think there are people coming to that meeting that are inclined to be highly and publicly critical of, say, Janet Yellen and the Federal Reserve strategy? Do they really have any critics attending that meeting that are likely to say anything? Do they, and if so, do they blunt that criticism by causing the markets to rise,
mm-hmm.
all right, in the week or so before the meeting and create the illusion everything's copacetic and the people in charge are really doing a wonderful job? Is that part of it, Melody, or is that just...
No, I don't think so.
No.
I really don't.
Well,
but
I don't
it's all a matter. They need to keep the public's confidence, and they need to keep the stock market high as long as they can, and you will see pressure on gold. It's just the way it is. Whether traders react to certain degrees of, they see these meetings approaching or during these meetings, and, perhaps they think the central bankers are always for Wall Street and, all stock markets worldwide. You know, maybe they feel they're going to come out of these meetings with something positive to enforce higher numbers. It's like clockwork. It is what it is. But to me, the markets are being rigged because you need that psychology. You need that positive psychology. You need that positive view. You need that confidence. Three-day weekend, they don't want people talking about, oh, God, the stock market dropped 500 points today. I better be careful. They're talking to family and friends. No. They want people to go out there and have a good time. Go out and spend your money. And so that's...
I don't say have the meetings at Las Vegas. Don't you think that would be a little more appropriate? Sort of a truth in advertising if the Federal Reserve and the rest of the central banks, they should be meeting down at Las Vegas. I think that would be
And people have, that's nuts. Why would the markets do that every time and so forth? I mean, that's probably not as credible as following these charts, and it's like, people just don't. I've been following these markets a long time, and to me that is more credible and consistent than any other type of some reports that I've seen. But anyway, we mentioned this a little bit yesterday. The U.S. budget deficit is expected to grow to $590 billion fiscal year 2016 due to slower than expected growth in revenues and higher spending for programs, Social Security, Medicare. This was reported yesterday by the Congressional Budget Office. The estimate is $56 billion larger than the forecast in March, shows a deficit increasing in relation to economic output. So, we've been kind of talking all week long about the poor recovery. It isn't what they want us to believe, or what they, yeah, what they want us to believe, and certainly down a little bit. The deficit peaked at $1.4 trillion in 2009. It shrank to $485 billion in 2014. So, rosy times are here again.
Happy days.
Happy days are here again.
This is how it also helps to get the Democrats reelected, or at least the incumbents reelected, if we all enjoy our economy. And we think we're headed in a good direction.
But they're only looking at growth at 1%, you know.
No.
It's just maybe.
If the number is even accurate.
If we can lie about it.
Yeah.
If we can get away with lying about it, you might get a 1%. But they pretty much predicted that over the next 10 years, economic output is going to be restrained. So.
Well, and how do they expect anything is going to work out well?
I know.
Right? What that means, if economic output, if productivity is restricted for a decade, that guarantees that while the population is growing and the supply of goods and services is no more than is stagnating, maybe declining, but not particularly growing, it means there's going to be more people fighting for perhaps less pie, and everyone on average is going to get a smaller slice. And what is the government going to do about it? They're going to come up with some more programs like Obamacare, which are just stupid. And they're going to try to provide for people who aren't able to support themselves. And I understand the rationale behind it. But wouldn't it be better if they did something that actually encouraged productivity, all right, rather than government dependence? And it's what has to be done. We have to restore productivity in this country. We have to see economic growth, not just hanging on by your fingernails, but growth. And it creates a certain amount of, not just prosperity, it creates a certain amount of optimism. Put a fresh coat of paint on the house, paint the sign on your business, whatever. The whole world spruces up when we are becoming more prosperous. We become more optimistic. It's, hey, how are you doing? The world is a better place when productivity is high, or at least increasing, and it hasn't been. It's been steadily declining for the past decade or more, and that can't lead to a good end. There's got to be trouble on this. If we can't learn to produce more goods, something's going to happen, and it won't be a good thing. We see some evidence of that with Black Lives Matter, for example. Part of that movement is fueled by poverty, right? That poverty is a reflection of insufficient productivity, insufficient jobs, insufficient take-home pay. We see results and consequences that include violence, anger for sure, and violence in times. On the other hand, if you can get the government to say, listen, let's get off everybody's back, let's let them be productive. You know, left to our own devices, we probably are productive. Most of us. I don't mean everyone, but most of us. We're inclined to do that. I think we feel better working than we do not working.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of people think, I want to retire. I want to win the lottery. Win the lottery, that'll ruin your life. I'm not sure that retirement, how many people are really geared for retirement? I wonder how many people are really capable of enjoying their retirement, and certainly if they... if you don't have any savings and you are old enough to retire, I don't think that's a formula for, boy, is this ever a great time?
I think about it, but
think about what?
Retiring. Hmm. But then I think, well, what am I going to do?
I think that's one of the questions. You have to have. I think work gives the average person a certain amount of meaning in their life. All right, it certainly can. I won't say that everyone's job gives meaning, but there's something when you become expert at a particular job. Maybe it's writing. Maybe it's roofing. Maybe it's sweeping the streets. But you get to a point where you actually say, you know, I'm one of the best street sweepers in the whole country. And when you reach that point and you kind of enjoy your expertise, you realize you're doing a heck of a job within the context. You know, it might not be rocket science, but you can take a certain amount of pride in that. You do. Good job. It gives you meaning in life. When you don't do that, I don't know where people find their meaning. I don't doubt that people can. But I think there's something dangerous about not working, especially when you're younger. I think it predisposes you to a lot of bad habits, maybe violence. You got to get out there and expend a certain amount of energy every day.
Well, you hear all the time, you retire, you die.
Well, it used to be that way, more so than it is now. I know that.
Well, yeah, because a lot of people have things to keep them busy. I mean, a lot of my high school friends, the ones that are retired, I mean, they're either taking care of their grandkids or, you know, that keeps them busy and so forth. I mean, they're busy in different ways than actually working. But I did make a commitment to my clients also that I would be here to see this through. So when it's time to sell, I will be here to help them sell. I will be here to help them trade along the way. And I will be here to assist them in any way that I can. So I did make a promise to that, and that is my commitment to this company and to my clients. So we will be here, so I can't quit. You know, so you all have to know that gold has to reach 3,000 pretty soon before I reach 86, 87 years old. So that's the timeline. And
I think we'll see $3,000 gold long before you see 86 or 87.
I think so too. Yeah. I think so, too. So,
in fact, it'll be something we'll be looking at out of the rearview mirror and say, but do you remember when gold was only $3,000 an ounce?
And speaking of gold, and we're going to go to break here soon, I get calls all the time from my clients who receive telephone calls from other dealers wanting to trade this for that, that for this. Folks, don't trade. You know, very rarely should you are ever in a position to trade. And you have to look at your portfolio to see if the trade that they're calling you about even makes sense. And every time I work the numbers on these trades, these so-called trades, guess who really wins and guess who really loses? I'll let you guess. I think you all know the answer. But I've just recently received calls about people calling out and wanting to trade gold for Morgan dollars and Morgan dollars for gold. I mean, it's just, no, folks, you don't do it. You just don't do it. Well, if it's a special deal, then why are they calling you?
Yeah, that's because the point behind it is this. There may be instances when you want to trade something, and if you want to trade something and you initiate that trade, well, that's your choice, right? And chances are you can do an intelligent and fair trade. But if someone's calling you on the phone and saying, I'd like to trade this for that, you know they're not calling you just out of the blue. And what I mean by that, they're not saying, well, I got an idea. How about we trade this for that? How about that? That's cool. Go and do that. It's not. They are calling because they have an agenda, they have a purpose, and they know that if you will make that trade, they will prosper, and you will lose assets. Huh? That's why they're calling you.
And usually these losses are not little. They're usually very significant. So be careful out there, folks. And I love to hear the stories of when you get these phone calls. So if you get them, call me. Let me know what's going on. I'll work the numbers for you. I'll show you. I'll give you the right numbers, and I'll show you that it's a bad deal. So I just wanted to bring that up when we had a few minutes of time. I think we're just about ready to go to a breakout.
We have about 20 seconds left, Melody.
20, 19,
okay, here's Frank. We've got some more professional musicians here besides Melody and myself, even more professional. We will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it.
to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom and Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just want to remind the listeners we have the 1/2 ounce American Gold Eagle with $20 face value of 90% silver. And I did readjust the price today. That is now $1,028, $1,028 for that package. It's a nice little package with a 1/2 ounce American Gold Eagle, 20%. $20 face value of 90% silver, and includes your shipping costs. So make sure you give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. Beginning of the program, Allie said we'd talk about some cheese. And this, it just gets me. It's just another, this is a leaf in the breeze. The government is spending $20 million in surplus cheese. Now, $20 million isn't a whole lot. It's the principle of the thing that gets me. But the United States currently has a massive cheese stockpile, and the government is stepping in to help buy up the excess. Now, they don't do it for any other business that has excess inventory. No one else gets a subsidy. I don't get a subsidy if I carry, you know, hey, look at the U.S. Mint. They have excess inventory of Silver Eagles. You know, they don't come in and help prop up that price. But the Department of Agriculture said yesterday that it will spend $20 million on 11 million pounds of cheese for private inventories. Now, they are going to give it to food banks and pantries across the U.S. But with increased milk inventories, higher European exports, low prices, sluggish demand, and shifting consumption habits, and it helped create the huge cheese reserve, pushing the surplus to a 30-year high. Now, you would think that you'd think anytime you can produce that much, it'd be a good thing. It wouldn't be a problem for dairy farmers, but it is. They have seen their revenues drop 35% in the last 2 years. Congress, the National Farmers Union, the American Farm Bureau, and the National Milk Producers Federation reached out to the USDA requesting the purchase. So, you know, it's just it's just another thing where government is involved and it shouldn't be. And I have family that's in the dairy business. I have clients that are in the dairy business. So it's nothing negative about the dairy business unless they would just let the free markets work the way they're supposed to. And, but the government had already, it was just more than 2 weeks ago after the USDA made another $11 million purchase to the Dairy Margin Protection Program, and that provides a safety net. to dairy producers. And so
they're kind of like Wall Street bankers then. Is that what's happening
pretty,
here?
Pretty much.
We're having kind of a quantitative easing for dairy farmers.
Yeah, there you go. But the U.S. produced nearly 12 billion pounds of cheese, an all-time high. 12 billion pounds.
12 billion?
12 billion pounds of cheese.
That's 4 pounds of cheese for every man, woman, and child in the country.
Well, Americans are eating a record amount of cheese.
No, I think it's 40 pounds of cheese.
Yeah, they're eating a record.
12 billion.
Let me finish. They're eating a record amount of cheese at 35 pounds of cheese each year.
Oh,
got to remember, some of this gets exported and stuff. So,
Well, I don't know. For those of you who have those little cheese head devices from Wisconsin,
well, no, it's
where
again.
The football
as I
games,
wanted,
the world is safe.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, it's another place where government shouldn't be. Anyway, speaking of government.
Well, we've got an article here when Rothschild ups gold bets. This was from Kitco News, and it says the central bankers continue their greatest experiment in monetary policy in history. It's important for investors to focus on preserving wealth, and this according to one member of the Rothschild banking family. One way to do that is to say preserve wealth, is with gold, noted Jacob Rothschild, chairman of the London-based RIT Capital Partners, in a letter to shareholders on Monday. In times like this, preservation of capital in real terms continues to be as important an objective as any in the management of your company's assets. Now, when he says preservation of capital in real terms, what he means is, let's suppose that I had $1 million, and I had it in the form of fiat dollars, paper dollars, $100 bills, stacked in the back corner of my closet. All right, I can send them back there, and I'm still going to have $1 million. If I don't spend any of them, I'll still have $1 million a year from now or 5 years from now. But the question is, what will the value, what will the purchasing power of that $1 million be 5 years from now as compared to what it is when I first put it in the closet? Will I still get $1 million worth of purchasing power, or will I only get $500,000 worth of purchasing power? If I only get $500,000 worth of purchasing power out of the $1 million in paper dollars sitting there in the closet, then my capital has not been preserved in real terms. And when Rothschild says at times like this, preservation of capital in real terms continues to be important, he is indirectly suggesting that we are coming to a time when capital, paper capital, is going to be destroyed. And he's saying, we got to get something else. We have to find another way to preserve your capital. Your capital is your purchasing power. It's not the number. It's the purchasing power. All right? It's not just talking about, I got $1 million, all right? It's $1 million in your bank account, $1 million in cash in the closet. It's not just the number. It's the purchasing power. It's like Confederate dollars. There's a number on it, but they don't have the purchasing power they once did. And that's what we're talking about with capital. Rothschild's firm, has reduced its exposure in equities and the pound sterling, the English pound, of course, to 44 and 25% respectively. At the same time, Rothschild said they increased exposure to gold and precious metals by 8% by the end of June. We are therefore in uncharted waters, and it is impossible to predict the unintended consequences of very low interest rates. With some 30% of global government debt in negative yields, combined with quantitative easing on a massive scale, he says nobody knows what's really going to happen here. It's impossible to predict this, and this is part of the reason why he's saying you have to preserve your capital. You're not going to worry about how much money can I make. Can I make 5%, 10%, 20%? Maybe that's not the place to have your mind focused right now. Maybe the place to focus your mind is, can I get, if I've got $100,000 to save, invest, and particularly save, can I get $100,000 back in a year? can I get it in purchasing power in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years? How do we preserve capital? Don't worry about how much interest you make on it. You're making on your capital. How much can you preserve? Nearly all classes of investment have been boosted by the rising monetary tide. Meanwhile, all right, stocks have gone up. All right, we've seen a big improvement in the stock market and a lot of other investments, yes. But he's saying, meanwhile, growth remains anemic with weak demand and deflation in many parts of the developed world. Growth has productivity, must increase. Whatever we see, if we're not baking more pies, we're not going to get a bigger slice of the pie. All right? We have to work. You want more pie? We have to bake more pies. We have to make more pies. We have to grow more apples to use in the pie. We need to grow more wheat. We need to do whatever we had. We need to produce more pie pans. We got to do something besides just sit around and wait for government to spin some money out of thin air. Rothschild added that many risks remain in the marketplace, including geopolitical situation in the United Kingdom after the Brexit vote to get out of the European Kingdom or get out of the European Union. I said also the U.S. presidential election. There's slow growth in China. There's unrest in the Middle East. And he says these factors should continue to bode well for safe haven assets such as gold, and they also pose significant geopolitical risks to financial affairs across the world, in the United States and around the globe. They are a covey of black swans, any one of which can fly down, swoop down, and perhaps cause some real serious problems. Our significant dollar position has now been somewhat reduced, as following the dollar's rise, we saw interesting opportunities in other currencies as well as gold. The latter reflecting our concerns that monetary policy, our concerns about monetary policy and ever-declining real yields. You know, it's not just we're not. Something strange is going on that's irrational. It's not just a matter of our productivity has been diminishing. Even our financial returns on investments have been diminishing. And this is a function of the Federal Reserve comes in and they set interest rates at a level that's so low that you can't make money. If you have money to invest in bonds, you can't make money doing so. You can't come up with, you're not right now, if you invest in bonds, when you calculate the inflation rate, you calculate the interest rate, you can't actually make money on your investment in bonds right now. Well, at least not most government, not many government bonds. All right? There may be some opportunities here and there, but we are not only not producing more apples to make more apple pies, and enough more cars and whatever to actually make us prosperous again, even the financial system is not producing much return on our investments. And this is happening because the Federal Reserve has set the interest rates so low. We have to wonder, I mean, it's an interesting question. How is it that both our productivity is declining, at the same time, our ability to even generate revenue, a return on our investments, that's also declining? Is this merely a coincidence that in terms of financial affairs, things are kind of going down the toilet? In terms of productivity, things are kind of going down the toilet? Coincidence? Or is this done intentionally? Or are the two, at least, even if it's not done intentionally, do the two, is there a relationship between productivity and return on investment from bonds in particular? Right? Is there a relationship there that people should be paying closer attention to? What do you think, Melody? Should we be paying closer attention to that? In any case, this productivity has to go up. And interest rates really have to go up also. We'll watch and see if and when that happens, but the Fed has painted itself into a bizarre corner, and we are all in a certain amount of danger because of that. The current structure and the current problems we have, and it doesn't look like they're going to disappear anytime soon. And it's another reason: preserve your capital. Preserve your capital. Preserve your capital. How are you going to do that? Rothschild understands. Get some gold. Huh? It will preserve your capital, as well as anything on the earth is likely to do. Gold can do it. So, what's next, Melody?
They all know it. Yesterday, we mentioned Rockefeller. Wasn't it Rockefeller? They said gold is money.
No, it was J.P. Morgan.
Was it J.P. Morgan?
Back in 1912.
Back
he said
in 1912.
Gold, he said,
was
gold is money. And he said, that's all. It's that's
my
the only
point,
money. That
point.
Is the only money is gold. All the rest of it is, all the rest of it. And it, once you get that, you believe he's right. The implication is, look, let's follow what the genius said. If he was right, it's not a bad idea to do what he said, which is, get your, want money, get gold.
I mean, if folks pay attention to what these billionaires and the elite say and what they write, they will discuss, you know, what is real and where you and the problems we have. Now, when it comes to trading, no, I don't believe they're going to funnel you into whatever program they want you to be so they make more money. But I do believe when they write and when they're interviewed, and I think it is important to read between the lines on what they're telling us. And they are telling you, they are telling us gold. It is going to be all about gold. That doesn't mean silver is a bad investment. They're both going to do well. But we have a monetary world problem. And the only way they can address and fix the problem is by using gold to some degree. I don't know the percentage. I don't know how much. I don't know, you know, if it'll be the basket of currencies, which I believe it will be. Somehow, some way, in some form, it's going to be all about gold, and they're going to be exposed for the lack of their of gold.
And the people who have gold are going to find their purchasing power is increased dramatically. That's what will happen when this thing finally blows up in everyone's face, and they're going to say, what do we do without fiat dollars? And somebody says, well, what about gold? Gold. Yeah, we can do that. What will the price be when everybody wants it? It will be a lot higher than it is right now, and it will probably be a lot higher long before Melody gets to 86 or 87. Huh? This is something that's more likely to happen in the next several years than it is in the next several decades. We're about out of time, Melody.
Okay.
All right, so I want to thank everyone for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day, to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Money, money, money. In a rich man's world, money, 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 always sunny. In a